This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The Volume.
All right, guys, the NBA playoffs are finally here. And as the games get better and the intensity ratchets up, I tell you to go to our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Use my promo code DCTV, bet only $5, and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. All of your favorite teams that competed through the season now get the chance to compete on the grandest stage, the play-ins, the playoffs, all the way to the conference finals and the NBA finals. It is going to be bananas. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app. Sign up using my promo code. Get your bonus bets right away. NBA playoffs is the best time of the year for the sport of basketball, and I'm here for it. So go to the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, where the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/b. Ball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Coleman, you know, the other day I'm watching a UFC promo, and they're doing, it's called Forever Young, and they are doing hypothetical matchups. Mm-hmm. They do John Jones and Izzy, they do Conor and Sean O'Malley. And they start to pan to guys in the octagon. They show Habib and Tony Ferguson, George St. Pierre, this guy. And then lo and behold, the hammer shows up. But he is staring across the octagon from one of, if not the most dangerous light heavyweight of all time, Daniel Cormier. And it got me to thinking how bad I would have kicked your ass, Coley. I mean, Coley, I would. Coley, did you see that, Coley?
Oh, God, it would have been a mismatch, DC.
No,
you would have been in a lot of trouble.
I got my ass whooped.
People don't know my stand-up game. We ain't taking each other down. We
would not have had a gentleman's agreement, Coleman.
You ain't.
I'd have been sniffing your ankles all night, biting, trying to take you down.
No clue.
Look at the size of those fucking.
Yes, look at those. It wouldn't have been fair.
It would have been a full-on wipeout on Coleman.
Probably. If I would have trained. But no, that would have been the fight that nobody got to see. Dude. And to be real, no, DC, you would have been the guy that would have kept me up late at night thinking because it's gonna be on the feet.
It's gonna be a
I
fight.
I better be in shape.
I was excited. I felt honored that they put us in there together.
I loved it.
Because
man.
You know, wait up a second, guys. I'm with the hammer, Mark Coleman. He's in my hotel room checking in. Look, yeah, guys, listen. Nobody gets to come inside of my personal space. Mark Coleman does. Because
right.
When I, just to kind of peel the curtain back a little bit, first off, Mark, thanks for checking in with me.
Yeah,
I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
taking some time. I know you've been busy this week and into everything that happened, as we will get into later. But my first time ever experiencing mixed martial arts, Mike DeSabato, close friend of both of ours, took me out to Philadelphia. I watched BJ Penn defend his championship against Kenny Florian. Anderson Silva fought against Forrest Griffin. I don't know that you even remember this.
Yes, I do.
You and I were together the first time. My first night in mixed martial arts, I spent with you. Another time, I spent with you, we were in New York City at Walmart. So some of the biggest moments that I still remember in my mind, I got to spend with you. So you get to come inside my circle, but I'm thankful for you for taking the invitation.
Yeah, I remember, DC. Listen, you, I struggled back then. You know my addiction problem, but you would look at me and say, you know, why you just drink them so fast, Coleman? And I say, I don't know. The next one's gonna get me where I'm looking to be.
Yeah.
And there was nowhere to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I found that out three years and a couple months sober, and my life has been amazing since I checked into rehab. You can't do it alone. Alcoholism, I ain't worried about the stigma. A lot of people are worried about that, but I'm gonna talk about it because I'm gonna help people get sober. Mm-hmm. Because I would say probably multi millions of people out there struggling.
Yeah.
And you got to get help. I checked into rehab. It was a complete fuzz. I don't remember much at all. I mean, I remember being there. I remember knowing I belonged with the same people that were in there. I surrendered and I put it in my higher power's hands, and God took away that obsession to drink. And now I work to stay sober. I will have to work the rest of my life. The 12 steps, I've worked the 12 steps. I still go to meetings once in a while just to keep my ass humble, because it's going to be a lifelong battle. Right now I'm winning, but if I keep fighting and keep working the work, I'll win.
Coleman, isn't it crazy that you went through so much, from the wrestling mat to the mixed martial arts cage to Pride and all those things, and to go through those types of fights and ultimately have to go find help to fight the greatest battle that you ever had to fight with alcoholism and drugs and everything? It's hard for a guy like you to really lend yourself and just, hey, take care of me. Because like you said, you can't do it alone. Just like you can't fight alone. That probably was the hardest part about going into rehab and trying to find that help that ultimately lends you to, because you look healthier today than you did back then.
I know.
But I didn't look at you no different, because I only knew Mark the Hammer Coleman, and I was going to treat you in that way.
I always wanted to quit drinking. I didn't think, and I was uncoachable, DC. You probably heard that. Nobody coached me, even in fighting. I like to learn things on my own and do things on my own. And then with rehab, old Wes Sims showed up at my hotel room, an extended stay hotel room, the ultimate, absolute rock bottom. I could hardly even walk to my car without running out of gas, DC. I hadn't worked out in 12 years. Mm. You know, just a toxic relationship, and it just kept getting worse and worse. But, you know, I knew I was an alcoholic. I was not in denial, but I just wasn't ready, because I was ready, but I wasn't ready until, you know, Wes Sims had the courage to, because nobody showed up there. You alienate yourself from everybody, your family, your friends, and you might talk on the phone and you let them know everything's good. You lie. You lie a lot when you're an alcoholic. And Wes Sims kind of was starting to get it. You know, I was lying to him, of course. And he showed up there and he walked into the room, and probably the most disgusting sight he's ever seen in his life, D.C. The mates hadn't been in there for a year. You know, I didn't let them come in there at all. And I wasn't interested in cleaning. Just thousands and thousands of beer cans everywhere. And I probably had cleaned it out. Every once in a while I would clean it out, but thousands probably from just the last 2 months or so, 2 or 3 months, it just built back up. And Wes Sims showed up there. I don't know. It was. It doesn't matter what time it was. It got to the point where there was no. It was 24 hours, not days and nights. And he convinced me to give rehab a try.
You know what's so sad about that is that's a story for a lot of legends in MMA and professional wrestling, right? You go to rock bottom where all the lights have dimmed, the fans have kind of calmed, and you lose that attention. But then there comes a moment of clarity, right? When you're in rehab and you start to come around the opposite side. What does that feel like? When you start to say, hey, I'm Mark Coleman, right? Because you don't recognize yourself during that time. But when you get that first moment of clarity and you say, I'm Mark the Hammer Coleman, and I feel like Mark the Hammer Coleman, life can start again. Like, what does that feel like to you?
It took a while, but I remember about 30 days in, you know, one of the patients in there, she came up to me. She said, how's it going, Mark? I said, it's about 30 days in. I'm like, man, everything's going great. Everything's good. I just wonder when it's going to fall apart. You know, that's the way I used to look at things. What's next? When's something bad going to happen again? And she looked at me and said, well, maybe it never will. I remember that to this day. I get goosebumps. And then about, you know, they kept me in there a long time. I think I was ready to go way before they let me out, but they started loving the Hammer being around. So they, about 3-4 months in, I got that feeling about, I get this, man. Got it. I mean, how much longer are you going to keep me in here? But them therapists are good, and they wanted to make sure. And then I remember checking out, talking to the two guys, checking me out. They asked me if I wanted to work for them, go around and recruit people and give talks and stuff. And I just had I just remember talking to them with a complete sense of calmness like this, and just complete calmness, which I, not my strongest asset.
Especially not during those times. Before that, before you went to rehab, you could talk still because you're a very smart man. But it wasn't as, you didn't have as much clarity. So it was a little harder for you to get through those conversations, but you got through it. And I remember last summer, we were here in Vegas and we did a panel, the greatest heavyweights of all time. It was you and me and Velasquez and Mir and all these great heavyweights. And you were speaking the truth of your sobriety and the journey you were on. And I was like, look at my man Coleman, you know, like. You even tried to grab me like a little wrestling, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, come on, Coley.
We are going one more time. I'm feeling good.
You look good, Coleman.
This clarity. It was still a year ago, but, it takes a long time, you know, to get 20 years, 30 years, 40 years of drinking out of your system.
Well, you're wearing your necklace there, huh?
Yeah.
It says four.
This is the this is my dog.
Oh, your dog Hammer. Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, that's good. I thought it might be.
Aren't in there yet, but that's
awesome, Coleman. Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
But no, sobriety. You know, what was the question?
I just saw that you look better when we saw each other last summer. It was as good as it's been.
I don't know how long ago was that.
That was last year already. Like June, July.
I January 1st of last year, I started that journey of transforming myself back into the Hammer, because I hadn't worked out in 12 years, D.C. And January 1st, me and Liver King, we good friends, we struck a deal. And I was just waiting. Why in the fuck? That's all I ever did is work out my whole life. And I just walked away. And maybe I was afraid to start training again because I knew I would want to fucking do it again.
Makes you want to fight.
And sure enough, it did. But Liver King told me transform back and promote the carnivore diet and the 9 ancestral tenets. And
I know.
And now it's a big friendship, big relationship going. And that's it. I January 1st struck that deal. And I started walking and I never fucking stopped. I put in some 19-hour days sometimes these years. I'm not, everybody says, oh, boy, how do you? Hey, trust me, I did it. You know, because I was obsessed. I didn't like laying down in the bed because it reminded me of my drinking days, just leaning. So I get up 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., and then call her a night around 10, 11 o'clock, and my shit was sore, and I loved every second of it. I fasted for a year straight without missing 20 hours a day. And I'd eat for a two-hour window, and then I wake up starving every day and just all day long just thinking about food, baby. And then it get me through the day and sore as could be. How the fuck are you going to do it tomorrow? But then 6-7 hours of sleep, wake up and start. Well, let my take my dog Hammer out, take a cold shower, get cold, real cold in the morning for 3 minutes and get that day started and take the dog out and just keep rolling.
Mark, you've mentioned your dog a few times. Clearly, the dog meant something to you. I mean, the experience you had. I remember when I got the text message, Mark's in trouble, right? It was after the fire. I want to know, because so many of us say that in extreme situations, we will respond in one way. But we don't know because we're never faced with that situation. I try to put myself in a situation to understand that if I'm faced with the same thing, I will make that same motion that you did, and I will go in there to find my parents. Talk me through that, Mark. Like, when the whole world is coming down, and you are the guy tasked with making sure your parents are still alive, and knowing that, I don't know, a year and a half ago, you would not have had that ability to do that because of where you were then compared to where you are today.
Well, I've had four hip surgeries, two in the last 5 months. So right place at the right time. So even a month ago, I had a major, major limp. It would have been, it wouldn't have happened. You want me to talk you through what happened that night?
I just kind of want to talk a little bit, Mark. I don't want you to have to relive a very tough night.
For me, you know,
were you sleeping at the house?
Yeah, I'm sleeping at my... I hadn't been home to see my parents in a while, only because I go home every weekend to see them, a couple-hour drive, but my car had been down. But yeah, I got the car back after a month. A bad mechanic, man. Took a month to change
the
engine.
They're the worst, yeah.
So I'm doing a lot of walking during that month, but daughters let me use their car. But drove home to see them, long day training, cooked some ribs in the oven that night, and went to bed at about 10. And I wake up every hour, take a piss, at 3 a.m. I woke up and walked out into the kitchen and got some cookies. You know, when I'm at my mom's house, I'm going cheat. But even at 3 a.m., you know, something didn't feel right, you know what I mean, in the house. You know, I was in this house, and I only took a couple cookies. Normally, I'm going to eat the whole bag, but I'm like, I don't know what. I went and laid back down, and I went back to sleep for a good hard hour. I have a lot of nightmares. I like them. But something woke me up. I'm pretty sure it was, now I figured out, it was probably a hammer jumping underneath the bed. The thud woke me up. And immediately, it was super hot in there. But I thought I was just having a night sweat, which I do sometimes. I didn't put nothing together yet. It's like, oh, hot, gloomy. And I'm feeling the fucking devil in the house, man. It's like, and it's black as hell in there because I usually sleep with a nightlight on and my door open, but I got to keep my dog in the room and black, wake up, it's hot, sweaty. I go grab my door, open the door. I'm walking out towards the kitchen. I don't know nothing is up. Just felt real creepy. I turn and I see the kitchen and I see some clouds out, clouds, and I don't put it together that them smoke. You know what I mean? I just seen the devil again, like something. And I took a couple steps towards it. And we got a door out the back door, and I grabbed the doorknob, and it was all fire. It was third degree burns on my hand, just lit me up, and that's when reality started setting in. I'm realizing this is what's going on. But then I heard the worst sound ever, glass windows falling from up above. That's when it clicked in. Time to fucking perform, react. I got to do something quick. I turned around, ran back to I knew the fire was everywhere inside. It hadn't showed its face.
You could see it?
No, I could feel it. No, the heat.
The heat was crazy.
I didn't see any flames anywhere, but it was inside the walls. And the house was hot. And I'm not sweating from a dream, man. It's real. And I run back into my mom and dad's bedroom.
Were they still asleep, Mark?
My mom and dad?
Were your parents still asleep?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, my God.
They were way back in the back. I opened the door. I yelled, Mom, Dad, five fucking times. Mom, Dad, I got a voice. And they don't respond. And it's just immediately the sickest feeling ever. I thought they was already dead from something, the smoke or whatever. And finally my mom says, what? What the fuck did
Get the fuck out of here,
whoa,
Mark.
What did you... She thought I was doing a 5 a.m. Instagram video being Hammer House for Life.
Oh, my
school
God.
Shit. She did. She thought I was just doing that or something with my dog. And I said, let's go, man. We the house on fire. We gotta go.
Oh my God, fast. Mark.
And they both get up there in their underwear, and they're coming around, and oh fuck, man. You know, I grab my dad, and he's got my mom, and I walk him down the hallway. It's smoky now, but it's okay. I'm gonna get my mom and dad out, and then go get my fucking dog. But I get my dad all the way out to the door. I turn around, and he doesn't have my mom with him, man.
Oh my
so
God.
I don't know what the fuck happened. Fuck, I'll get her. I turn back, I look down the hallway, I can see my mom standing in the room. And what are you doing? She's like, I can't breathe. She got asthma real bad. She had her shit covered
God,
up.
Bro.
I wasn't smart enough to cover my nose up. And I talked to some firemen. They asked me if I was on my hands and knees. I wasn't smart enough to get down there because the smoke's up here. And I run back.
But how in the world could you be and have the wherewithal to do it whenever you're,
I guess
you're in a full-on panic.
No training, man.
Yeah, but no, like you're in a panic. Firemen. They can't. They say, well, can you get on your knees, do all, like, everything's going 1,000 miles a minute at that point.
It's called practice, man. I had no practice.
Yeah.
But so I grabbed my mom, and I turned back around, and now this hallway is ugly. I mean, it's black. I can't see it. No lights will work. It's black, but I can still see the smoke somehow. And now the smoke is bad. And I got my shoulder up against the wall. I just got to go like, you know, 20 yards, 15, 10 yards, well, however far it is, down this hallway. And then I'm going, we're going. I got my mom. And then, I fell off into like a bathroom. The door was open. I'm holding myself up with the wall, and I fell off in. And then I looked up, and it was just ugly. And for the first time, I said to myself, like, man, you ain't gonna make it, because I was lost. I didn't know I didn't know what step to take next. It was just all, and I said that to myself. I didn't say it out loud, of course, but I thought it was over. And then I just took a step, and God guided me. God guided me down the hallway. I got my mom out the door. And I turned around. I'd probably been in there, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 minutes by now. And I ran back in. Went back to my bedroom, and I swiped underneath the bed. And I jumped to the end, and I swiped again. And when I was down low, it got me away from the smoke for a second. It gave me a false sense of I'm okay. But then I leaned up after I took the second swipe. I was going to jump to the third side of the bed and try to find this dog, man. And I leaned up, and the smoke hit me real hard. And now I'm terrified this whole time. You see, it was a sense of urgency. Luckily I had been training, because I'm tired. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm tired, and I stand up, and I stood up, and I'm still thinking about going over here and swiping. But then when I stood up, I kind of wobbled and fell into the bed. I realized it's time to get the hell out. And I turned, and I blindly was guided out the fucking house, and I got out the garage door, reunited with my dad. I walked him around to get my mom, and then we turned around, and basically the whole fucking house
engulfed.
It was over. We live out in the country. By the time anybody got there, it was total gone. You know,
Jesus, Mark.
They did save some things, but they did find my Olympic walk opening ceremony gear, man. How about that?
That's,
you know, so I lost, I had all my stuff there, all my memorabilia from over the last 30 years and shit, and a lot of stuff there, but it's just stuff. But man, there's some cool shit in there.
Some good stuff. Well, a lifetime of achievements.
Then that story, So then it's getting pretty bad. I'm coughing real hard, but I'm thinking I'm fine. I'm thinking I made it. It's the highest of highs and the lowest of lows at the same time, man. It was just DC. It's unbelievable. And then the ambulance got there. I remember being in the ambulance, and I told him, I said, I'm fine. I don't need to go to no hospital. And I just want to go see my parents. And I wasn't fine, man. You know, I wasn't fine. And when they got to the hospital, they found pretty much a ton of smoke on the lungs.
Jesus.
They were able to, they got a way of blasting it off down there, and sometimes it works, sometimes it don't, but it worked. They got a ton of the black shit out of my lungs, and then I remember being out. My daughters were there the whole time, and I remember being out but half awake, and them talking to me, and I knew. I knew I was coming through, man. You know, I knew I was going through this shit.
We didn't. And we were all watching it, and it was like, this has to be the scariest thing ever, because obviously knowing you, it was worrisome. But then the heroic act to us spoke volumes and spoke to who you are as a human. But have you seen the pictures? Have you seen the pictures of you at the hospital? Have you looked at them? Yeah, when you see that,
the doctors diagnosed me as we have a young, handsome black man here.
I know they didn't, Mark. Yeah, did. Mark, you're lying. You're lying. You look, Mark. You were. They still had, you know, the stuff.
No,
on.
I was black from the smoke.
They did not say that, Ed.
No, they was working on the black young man, but they also threw in there young, handsome.
You're such a fucking liar.
No, they did. Black man.
That would have been awesome.
They did have a black man they were working on, man.
So when you look at that picture, though, like, what is that? Like, what is that? Like, what is that? I mean, how haunting is that to see that? Like, you in that state.
It's the highs, lows, lows, but it's not haunting, man. It's like, I had to go through that to be here today. And I accept everything now. That's what you do when you get sober. You have to let go of all your resentments, which I had a lot of them. You know, let them go, man. They're gone. Yeah. And you got to accept things. There's going to be good things that happen and bad things. Good things are going to happen. Things are going to be taken away. And it's not, it's how you respond to a situation that matters. And I was not always the best, because I wouldn't think I would respond with anger and hate and yelling. But I'm working on that character defects. But, you know.
Getting better every day.
Yeah, have to.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is at the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch. Had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but
all right. So, what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
Say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
Mark, we're at UFC 300 mm-hmm. as we kind of spin forward. You fought at UFC 100. Mm-hmm. How far has this thing come? Yeah. Is it even recognizable to you to be here on the verge of such an historic event, knowing that you competed on UFC 100, to see what the UFC is today? Did you ever think when you started and you were headbutting people and mm-hmm. ground and pound, the godfather of it, that you, this sport would soar to these types of heights that we see today?
Well, honestly, I did. I remember three fights one night, UFC 10. I got down Friday in the finals.
I remember that.
Oh, Jesus. What the fuck? I've been in some.
How did they fight three? How did you guys fight three times in one night?
Oh, I got better, just like in wrestling, bro. I got better as we went. By the down Fry fight, they thought I was going to be a little tired after Goodrich. They mm-hmm. came back because they wanted Fry to win. So after Goodrich, I had an 8-minute fight with him. They came back in the locker room. My hands were hurting. That's a good problem to have. Yeah. My hands were already fucking hurting. But he said, well, you're up in 20 minutes. Fight Fry in 20 minutes. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they came back and said, it's going to be a little longer because Don Fry was still hurting from his last fight. They, mm-hmm. But I remember walking out after that. And just, I was saying, the rushes are coming. The fucking rushes yeah. are coming soon. But I said, I'm pretty sure this is going to be the biggest sport in the world. And this is what I meant. This is what we're seeing right here.
Yeah.
Overtaking the NFL. World famous. Because not everybody can play football. Not
everybody can fight. That.
But the whole world can fight. And the whole world loves it. And here we are. It's the greatest sport in the world with wrestling tied.
Yeah, it is everybody loves, everybody can fight, or everybody hopes that they can fight.
Yeah.
And everybody loves watching tough guys
yeah.
and girls nowadays,
Oh, yes.
They love watching tough people fight, and that's what the UFC gives you. Mark, think back to UFC 100 though, when you were getting ready for that centennial event. When you were sitting there getting prepared for the competition, How nerve-wracking was it? Because I competed at 200.
Yeah.
And I felt the enormity of it. I knew it was big. Yeah. Talk about that night.
Oh,
like,
wow. I had a good training camp, DC. I was struggling with my addiction. But when I put shit together, and that's one. I would say I only put it together for a handful. But the Stephen Bonner fight, I knew 44 years of age. And I knew I'm fighting for my job for sure. I just got beat by Shogun Hua. And hey man, I was confident going into that fight. Very, very confident. I had a great training camp. I was healthy. 205 cut was easy. You mm-hmm. know how that is.
You look strong too at 205.
Well,
you used to look strong, Coleman.
Well, yeah, of course I was strong. I mean, what the fuck? I'm one of the strongest guys in the world. No doubt about that. Ask Stephen Bonner.
Yeah.
Ask that motherfucker.
Well, we can't ask Stephen.
Oh, unfortunately.
Sadly,
man.
Yeah.
We were good friends, but. Yeah, I've had many people tell me Steph Bonner's one of them. I am the strongest human being they've ever touched. And
we wrestled in Philadelphia. You and I. Well, we just kind of hand fought
a little bit.
And then Mike started moving in his stance, yeah. but he kept switching his lead leg. Like I was like, well, he must not be very good. The guy that switches his lead leg over and over is like, this guy's not that good, right?
No, he wasn't. Barely average.
Yeah, when they start doing that, you know, it's not good to see, man. Yeah.
But that's one of my favorite all-time fights by far, because it's the only fight in my career where I'm getting whooped in the first round. I lost the first round, let's put it that way. I went to the corner, and I've never been in a fight where I'm losing and came back and won. It was either I'm dominating or I'm dominating and then got tired and lost, something mm-hmm. like that. You know, but I went to my corner and says, it's now or never. And I went back out there and he tried a big old, like some kind of spinning head kick on me or something, foolishly, changed the level, got him on the ground. And then one violent elbow busted him wide open. And when I seen that blood, DC, it made me feel young again. I was 44, but all of a sudden, I just started attacking that. It gave me the energy I needed. You create your own luck, and I created luck there by his blood because I knew it was going to give me energy. I just kept attacking that. And it was a pretty close fight, but I made it through. And like, you know, once again, I'll let you all know when I'm fucking finished. I was counted out for the dead so many times, DC. Right after, you know, champion, three straight losses, I'm dead. Got to go over to Japan to revitalize my career.
But yeah,
that's it. Don't bet the house against the hammer.
I just turned 45. I could not imagine still fighting when I was 44.
Oh man,
that was crazy. I was like that to put camp in at 44.
No, I felt nuts. Good. I felt real good, except other than my hips being real sore from my arthritis, I was good to go for a long time.
You know what I tell people? I said the worst part about being an athlete, right, especially in combat sports, is like there's never a day that you feel just nothing. There's always something. Like, that's my deal. I'm like, I don't even remember getting out of bed and feeling just okay. It's like your back, your neck, your knees. There's always, when you put a lifetime of combat in, you just never have a day where just nothing hurts. It's always something.
It's not normal. If all of a sudden you do have a day.
If I jump out of bed.
Something ain't hurting.
If I jump out of bed one day. And I feel like I'm 30 again, I'm calling all my loved ones because that's the day I'm dying. Because this is not normal. If I get out of bed and my back is not hurting, I'm like, yo, I'm calling everybody I love because I'm probably dying. They say like you have like a rush of adrenaline before you die and you're normal. I'm probably going to die on that day because I just feel like shit every day.
There's a fucking answer for it, DC, because that's what I felt like 3 years ago. I got sober 3 years ago, but I didn't start exercising for a year and a half of sobriety. That was the hardest year and a half of my life because the addiction was there every day, and you got to stay busy. And then I started training. That's when the sobriety got much easier, and then I came obsessed with it. You always got to find another addiction, and, you know, it became exercise. But what the fuck was I getting at?
Nothing, just that every day your fucking back hurts or something.
Oh, no, like, but then, no. So, yeah, I was beat to a pulp then. A year ago, but DC, I can honestly say my shoulders, I couldn't do this, you know, I couldn't throw a punch. There's no pain. Exercise, the amount of yoga and stretching I do, I have very, very minimal pain in my body right now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Hardly anything. Back, before I let you yourself.
Before I let you go, Coleman,
yeah,
this will air after the fight this weekend, but on Saturday night, you're going to put the BMF title on the champion. Justin Gaethje or Max Holloway, one of the biggest moments of the night, you will be putting the belt on the winner. But that was requested by the fighters. What does that mean to you for the people all these years later, Mark, to still respect you enough to want you in that moment? Because it's their moment, but they want you there for it.
You know, that's kind of what it's all about, DC. I've always... I just always wanted to make people proud of me, and I just wanted respect. And that's the ultimate. Them, Max Holloway coming on there. I rolled on the bus with him a couple of times. We friends here and there, but for him to come out and say that, I caught it on social media like everybody. It just blew my mind. It's like, wow, Max Holloway, that meant the world to me. And then Justin Gaethje says the same thing. Those two guys saying that, and then the whole world, the fans saying they want to see it too. That's the only reason it happened, because I guess it was meant to be, and I feel amazingly good, DC. Coming out of that fire, waking up, and my daughters, and then all of a sudden, very quickly, they told me how far this story had traveled. I didn't, you know, I thought, you know, oh, fuck, it's just between me and my kids.
No, it wasn't.
No, man, the whole world, and I'm like, wow, man, I know I have some good fans, but I had no clue how many, and new fans, you're all welcome.
But, we all have an appreciation for you and what you have meant to the sport of mixed martial arts. Sure. And for me, wrestling, the Olympics, everything, you know how much I look up to you. Guys, Mark Coleman, on Saturday night, will present the BMF title to the champion. Go and follow Mark on everything that he does. This guy is active on social media. He is spreading the word of positivity right now. Mark, thank you for checking in with me, man. Right, I appreciate DC. Your time.
Love
Look
you,
at
brother.
That. The bar, Mark Love the Hammer Coleman. Go follow him. Until next time, guys, hey, like, subscribe. Tell your friend to tell a friend that DC's got a YouTube channel, and I got like guys like the Hammer checking in with me. Until next time, peace.
Sober's cool.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.